This is Living the Good Life, and we're all about that river of anointing. This is Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We're excited to have another live show today. And amidst all this rainy weather that we've got going on, Connie, it's pretty much of a mess out there today, isn't it?
Well, I walked out of the restaurant this afternoon, and it was pouring when we walked in. And when I came out, I went to take a breath, and I couldn't breathe.
The humidity.
So humid.
It is. It's just terribly humid.
Yeah. It's not very pleasant here today.
I'm not complaining, though.
Not complaining. We got rain.
It's better than snow.
That's exactly right.
And ice.
And ice. And Connie Farmer here to my right, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, my associate pastor here on the left. And this is Pastor Marcia McAllister. And we're excited about being on the air with you today. And Connie, as I was driving here, I was thinking, you and I were on the very first show. You are the only one of our radio team. We've had a lot of changes in the radio team through the years, and which is great because it's not something that most people keep doing all the time because it's a big time commitment. But you, since April of 07, have been a part of the radio team and have done the music for the show the entire time. And we so appreciate that. Pastor Jim joined us in 08.
I started coming to church in September of 08.
08. And I think you came on to the radio in 09.
Yeah, early
09. And so you've been on with us a long time, and we appreciate all the ones that have been a part of this radio team through the years. And for those that are consistently here with us and taking turns, it's a real blessing. And there's times that things happen and people get ill or whatever is going on in their lives, and so people are all the time pinch hitting and all that. I just use a baseball reference here, of course, based on our Rays, who are so wonderful. Cedric, I don't know, when I left the house, it was like 5-0, and it continues to be that. You can check on this for me.
I'll check. Yeah, that's where it was when I was in the car earlier, but
oh,
I'll check.
All right. Okay.
When are you going to start with the football stuff?
Oh, I am. It's today. Today.
Okay.
The Bucks play today. They just started playing right now. And
have they fumbled yet?
Connie, that's bad. She said that out loud. And we love our Bucks and we love our Rays. And we're just like Pastor Jim could care less, but Connie and I love.
We do like winning teams, though, better than losing.
Do we? Is that
losing
it?
Losing team.
Anyway, we are sports minded, but we are God minded and excited to be able to share the word. Pastor Jim, God is answering praise reports. He's answering Wednesday night. Talk about that, because you keep the book on Wednesday night. You want to talk about the book?
Yeah, we have a book that we use on Wednesday night because before Bible study, we have a time of prayer from about 6:15 to 7, where we take prayer requests and I write them down. And just before we have Bible study, we pray those. And we also spend time praying the word out of Prayers That Avail Much. But it's great because I keep one side as prayer requests, the other side as praise reports. And it's just great because we've had praise reports.
Oh.
People have been getting healed.
Yes. Tremendous.
Job issues,
yes.
Financial issues. I mean, God's moving.
Amen.
You know, God's moving in our prayers. I mean,
yes.
we pray believing, God moves.
Absolutely. And we encourage people to use our prayer line, right?
Yes.
How do they do that?
If you have a prayer request, you can send it to prayers, prayers, at beaconofhopeministries.com. and one of us will pick it up.
Yes.
And what we do is we don't just send it out to everybody on the prayer list. We'll write kind of a, I don't want to say sample prayer, but an example. I mean, something we can all agree on.
Right.
You know, for the particular requests.
Sure.
So, and then that goes out to our prayer team.
Right. And they pray that along with us, and we all are in agreement. And the prayer of agreement is amazing. It has so many results. I mean, Connie, think of all the results all these years that you've been a part of Beacon.
Crazy.
It's so wonderful.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Great. I think it's good that we have the prayer sent out with the request, because I know a lot of times when I get the prayer request, I don't always have time to just stop what I'm doing. So if I just read through it, I'm praying the prayer as I'm reading through it. So it saves.
It's really great. It's a great way.
I know, and it's a microwave approach in the society, but
that instant thing of praying. So we thank God for all the praise reports from these prayer requests, because they're huge and there's many of them. Connie, we've started a new project at Beacon of Hope, and that is on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You're in charge of that. What did you do today?
Videotaped the service, so
yeah,
going up probably not until tomorrow by the time we get done here and everything.
Right.
But I hope to have it up tomorrow for the sermon from today.
So you go to facebook.com/ Beacon of Hope Ministries, NZIES, and you'll be able to see that. And also a lot of other things that you post. You post a devotional up there a lot, mm-hmm. and comments. And Pastor Jim and I will
really
be going there to do some of that too, you know. So that's cool.
A really good graphic of the armor.
Oh,
I saw that. That was really good.
Really?
Yeah, somebody who had liked our page, when I went back to see that person, had it as her picture across the top of.
Oh, wow.
So I stole it.
You stole it and put it on there. Okay, very good. All right.
Everything's public domain when you're on Facebook.
When you're on Facebook. So we do welcome each of you to go to our Facebook account, our Beacon of Hope page, facebook.com/ Beacon of Hope Ministries. And by tomorrow sometime, you'll be able to see this the sermon from this morning. And we're going to keep things up there for a while and keep them current and so forth. So it's kind of a great tool. You're a big Facebook
Not that big. Maybe once every
user.
Other day I pop in just to see what's going on.
Yeah, I can't say I am even that consistent, so I've got to do a little better. Connie lives with her Facebook account, I think, don't you?
Well, it's on my phone.
Yeah.
So I can see things. I haven't quite mastered being able to post stuff from my phone, but...
Okay. But we're excited about this new ministry, yeah. So it's really cool. And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say social media is so where everything's at today.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we've gotten a lot of hits on that on the Facebook.
Oh, yes.
We've had some people come to church because of Facebook.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we're really, I think it's a great ministry.
Absolutely.
For us.
And for those that don't have a Facebook account, I got to figure out how to do it, but I'll send the video to Maxine to put on the...
On our website.
On our regular webs, yeah.
Okay,
website.
And then that can be accessed that there, which is beaconofhopeministries.com, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. We got a great show for you today. We have started a series in the book of James. Pastor Jim, you and I are teaching this. We're excited about it. We're going to hit chapter 2 very soon, maybe even into Wednesday night, probably. We started it last Wednesday night. What an enjoyable Bible study in chapter 1 of James. James is an amazing book. I can't wait to talk to you and Connie about it in just a moment. One of our songs that we do live at Beacon of Hope sometimes is called The Stand. This rendition is by Christian Stanfill. Let's listen.
Spoke the earth into motion, my soul. stay. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my sin. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stay. And what could I say? And what could I do?
Praise God. Great song, The Stand. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're studying the book of James now. And the book of James, if you have your Bible, is written by a pastor. His name was James. He was the half-brother of Jesus. And he's a very direct pastor, Pastor Jim. He really says it and calls it like he sees it, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. It's
very much.
Well, he's direct, he's to the point, and James is not exactly, it's not like a theological letter like Paul.
Right.
I mean, it's probably the most practical
yes.
letter in the New Testament, you
yeah.
know. In fact, it's been called the Proverbs of the New Testament
right.
because it, you know, it's just good advice all the way through. There's, you know, there's no real, you know, there's a couple of dissertations on stuff, but James is just so down to earth in this
yes.
letter. And that's, you know, it's just so full of practical things to do, practical ways
right.
to live.
Right. I love it. It's only five chapters. In the Message Bible, there is a little page right before each book in the Message Bible. And it's interesting that the translator of the Message Bible, says this, that Christian churches, Christian believers gather in churches, and when that happens, everything that can go wrong sooner or later does. I love that. And then he goes on to say that Christian churches are not, as a rule, model communities of good behavior. They are rather places where human misbehavior is brought out in the open, faced, and dealt with. And that is so good, because this is what the book of James is. James is calling people to better behavior, to acting like Jesus. And he's really saying some very direct things. So if you have your Bibles out there, let's go to James 1. And we had a great discussion Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope on this first concept in James. And we want to bring it up today on the radio and talk about it for a few minutes. It starts with verse 2 of James 1, where James says, "Consider it all joy." In the Message Bible, "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides." I like the word "when" there. We should mark it in our Bibles. In the NIV, it uses the word "whenever you face trials of many kinds." In the Message, it's "when," not "if" you ever have a trial. How huge is that?
But I thought when I got saved, I'd never have another problem.
You really didn't think that, did you, Pastor Jim?
No, I didn't.
But Connie, don't you think that's a prevalent feeling that people have out there, that all the problems are solved when they get saved?
Yeah. I think, yeah, they do.
And it's not that way.
No, if anything, they're quadrupled.
Yeah, it gets so much worse. Yeah. And because it's in that.
But you don't, we can't tell them that.
No, you can't tell them that. No, you don't want to scare
them. Yeah, by the way, once you accept Jesus, you're going to need Jesus.
We're running from this church.
Amen. Well, what happens, James says here, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Boy, now that's profound right there. Consider it a sheer gift. We got into quite a discussion Wednesday night, Pastor Jim, about the fact that tests and trials are gifts to us. Most people cannot begin to understand that concept or like it, you know.
Well, who wants it? You know, who on a purely human level, who wants to go through trials?
Right.
But, you know, the next verse 3 says why these are gifts. It explains why it's gifts. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Okay, if we didn't have the issues, the trials, the things that we go through, those are used to build up our faith. Those are used to strengthen us.
Right.
And, you know, James out, the outlook that he had was, you know, he understood that, okay, we're a small minority little group.
Right.
Because he pastored the church in Jerusalem.
Right.
And the letter itself was probably written after James the Apostle, John's brother, was martyred.
Right.
And, you know, James is saying, just count it all joy, because when you encounter these trials, when these bad things happen,
right,
then it's a good thing, really, because it produces endurance, and endurance must, I like the way that the Holman Bible puts it, endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing.
Yes. It grows you up.
Yeah. Well, I like that. It makes you mature.
Yes.
And complete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that we don't, we grow up.
That's,
you know, we can't stay babies all the time.
No.
And we might like to. You know, then we'd have to have Connie the nurse come and look
at us. Right, exactly. Connie, in the Message Bible, you have it right there. Can you read 2-4 in the Message Bible? Because I love the way it says it.
Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work for you, so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way.
Let that trial, that pressure, do its complete work so that you grow up. And you learn to say, okay, God, there's a reason I'm having this trial and this pressure right now. There's a reason all this has happened, and I want to get the good out of it. I want to make sure that I get the blessings you want for me and that I learn the wisdom that you want me to learn through this situation. And James is so clear when these things happen, not if they happen, when they happen. And then in verse, what is it, 5? If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. I think we all need to be doing that, because there's a lot of times we don't know what we're doing in a given situation. We don't know how to handle it. Maybe the pressure, the stress of what you're going through today, any of you out there, is so intense you don't know what to do about it. And James says here, when you don't know what you're doing, pray. Pray to the Father. Because why? What's the next little phrase there?
He loves to help.
He loves to help. He loves to help. And I think a lot of people really don't believe that God wants to hear and work on all those details. We say that all the time on the show. But it's true. God loves to help us. He really does. And you'll get his help, and you won't be condescended to when you ask for it. And so you should just ask very wimpily, very like, oh, no, I hate to ask you this, God. However, is that what it says?
Not at all.
Boldly.
Boldly. And this, boldly. You know, this.
Believingly.
Believingly. Woo.
Without a second thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. He this gives generously and without criticizing. And
yes.
I looked, since we were doing this, I looked up the Greek word there. It's translated in this version, criticizing. It's without sarcasm.
Oh, that's good.
You know, sometimes we think
yes.
If we go to God and ask him for something,
right,
he's going to, I like what the message says, condescend or
right.
criticize. What, you're back again for this?
Right.
You didn't get enough the first time.
Right.
But God doesn't do that.
He's
you know,
not
he
like
delights.
That.
He delights to give, to be generous to
Amen.
Us. And I agree, that's a hard concept for people to understand.
Right.
Because we tend to look at God as someone who maybe grudgingly gives us gifts. And I think
yes.
all too
mm-hmm.
often we compare our Heavenly Father with our earthly fathers. And,
right.
you know, a lot of our earthly fathers were not generous
right.
and gave with criticism.
Yes.
But God doesn't do that. I mean, it says so right here. We can go to God. He's not going to criticize us for
Amen.
Coming to him, for asking him for things.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a huge point. And I think that's a part of what's wrong with a lot of Christians. I think they just don't feel like, oh, I just can't go to God with this. I got to work this out myself. He's trying to show me how to work it out. What'd you start to say, Connie?
Well, I think it's how you're raised, because I remember going to churches where I never read this. We, you know, they never talked about this scripture
right.
and that God loves to help us.
Right.
It was more like he's up there, and, you know, depending on what denomination, either he's ready to hit you with a ball bat.
Right.
Or he's loving, or he's, I mean, it, depending on where you go, there's all these different ideas of who God is.
Yes.
I think in the last few years, it's kind of been more of a consensus that God is love, and that
yes.
he loves us, and he
yes.
cares about us, and he wants to do things for us. But I think there's still a few stragglers out there that are
oh,
still
yeah.
saying that same kind of stuff, that, you know, God will get you.
Yeah.
You know, sit down here and listen to God, and, you know, or else.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, just that
yeah.
meanness, you know, that anger type thing.
Because he's in power, like a king who, you know, has subjects.
Right.
And we're his subjects. And, you know, if he feels on, if he's in a good mood that day, you might get what you asked for.
Right.
You know, because, you know, don't count on having your prayers answered.
Right. But that's just the opposite of what James is saying right here.
Exactly.
He's saying, ask boldly, mm-hmm. believingly, without a second thought. In other words, don't try to second guess, okay, is God going to be upset with me if I bring this request to the throne of grace? Or is he going to say, good, I'm glad you finally are talking about it, you know? And really, that's what he's saying here. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. The next phrase, now read it, Pastor Jim, where you are, people who, in our Message Bible, it says, worry their prayers.
For the doubter.
The doubter. Okay. The doubter. What will happen to the doubter?
Well, the doubter's like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways.
Whoa. Absolutely. Message, Connie. Let's start with people who...
People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open.
Don't you find that very interesting? And your translation says doubters. So people who worry their prayers are the equivalent of doubters. People who are going, I go, I know, God, you're not going to do anything about this, but I just got to talk, you know, whatever.
It would be like somebody who says, oh, Lord, okay, we need, I need $100 to get the bills paid.
Right.
And then the minute you stop praying, it's like, I just don't know how he's going to do it. I don't think this is going to happen, but, you know, I'm going to pray it.
Okay.
So, you know, you prayed, but then you took it all back.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And, people who worry their prayers are like the wind-whipped waves. We've been seeing a lot of wind-whipped waves this weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been kind of stormy out there, and you just look at the water as you're driving by it, and it's pretty crazy. White caps and all that. And that's the way some people are. They're just whipped around by their circumstances, beat around by what's going on.
Victim behavior.
Victim behavior. Oh, victim behavior. That's interesting. What do you mean by that, Connie?
Well, they're the victims. They're the result of what's been done to them instead of them taking responsibility for their part of it. And, you know, just and being taken, being accountable and moving on.
Exactly.
You know, this happened, yes. But instead it's like, oh, poor me.
Yeah.
Poor me.
She's going to cry, Jim. She's going to cry.
I see that.
I ain't crying.
But you're right, because so often I think that we absolutely sabotage the answer to our prayers by our attitude when we pray. And James is saying, look, people, ask boldly. Ask believingly. Ask without giving it a second thought. Don't try to figure out, oh, how is God going to do this? Instead, just ask and believe, and that should settle it.
I think the question of how he's going to do it needs to be answered after we're in heaven.
Okay. There you go.
We just need to just know that. I mean, because if we ask our parents for something, we don't ask them how they're going to do it necessarily.
Right.
It just happens.
Right.
You know, they make it happen. So, of all people, God has the resources to make things happen.
Absolutely.
So, I just think that, you know, after I die and go to heaven, I'm just going to hang out with him for the day and watch how he operates. Then I'll send little things back down to heaven.
Yeah, make sure we all hear what Alex going to do. But truly, we don't see how God does things a lot of times or what he's doing behind the scenes. We know he is doing things behind the scenes, but I think our natural mind gets so messed up by trying to figure it out. Oh, God's probably going to do this way. And then we get disappointed, and then we get into discouragement and defeat if it doesn't happen the way we think it should happen.
Well, if we're going to ask him how he's going to do it, then we're not trusting him.
There you go. Right.
So if, you know, then we deserve not to have almost.
Yeah.
And going along with that, too, if we think that he has to do it in our time.
Right.
Right.
You know.
By Friday at 12.
Right. Yeah. And he may not.
12:30 at the latest.
Yes, at 12:30. But this is the truth. I mean, I've done this in years past. Okay, God, I need this week. But certain, you know, we all have done that probably. But what God is saying here through James is ask boldly, believingly. Don't give it a second thought. Don't try to figure it out. Don't be a doubter. Instead, just ask. And I said this morning in the sermon, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And we claim a verse of Scripture, stand on it, say, I believe the Scripture for my situation, and that should be the end of it. That's it, right? Mm-hmm. And so James is saying in this first part of James 1, look, everybody's got trials. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got situations that we don't know how to handle. But when we have something like that, we should be rejoicing. We said Wednesday night at Bible study, it's like the trial is encased. I mean, wait a minute. The opportunity, that's how we said it, wasn't it? Is encased with the difficulty. Okay. And you have the difficulty and all you see is the difficulty. Okay. But there is a blessing in that difficulty. I used the example of the magic marker Wednesday night. Remember that? I don't know why. It just came to me at the moment. Magic marker, you hold it up. All you see is the magic marker, the hard plastic case. You see the lid. Okay. Now, logic tells us, because we've used magic markers before, that there's ink in there. And if we take the lid off, okay, we can write with that, and it'll do something for us. That's the opportunity. It's that ink that's in there. But if we never take the lid off, all we see is the difficulty getting to the ink. Okay, we can't see anything. We can't really see the ink. We see the case that holds the ink, and we've got to start looking, a mindset, change our mindset, and start believing that the difficulty is the case around the opportunity.
But if you open that case, you're going to make a mess.
Sometimes the opportunity does make a mess in your life.
Exactly.
It does.
And
sometimes
the ink
does.
Ink will make a mess in your hands.
Right. Right. And sometimes it does. And sometimes it just does good things, like allow you to write on the board.
Right. But it's in its case.
But it's in its case. So often we've got to get to a point that we see in our mindset change about these difficulties. This is what I'm trying to get at. Mm-hmm. And instead of just go, oh, that's a difficulty. Look at that plastic thing with a lid on it. That's not doing me any good. It's just laying there. It's a plastic thing with a lid on it. Well, when we open it up and begin to use it, we see the value of the opportunity that's encased in the difficulty. You're both looking at me like I'm nuts.
No.
I was trying to think of what I because I'm not getting my point across either.
Okay, go ahead.
If you break open the case.
Right.
And you have your ink there.
Right.
But it makes a mess in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Too much of it. I'm not sure how I'm going.
The difficulties around our opportunity have to be dealt with appropriately, or you get a big mess in your hands.
Right,
exactly.
You know, it's like fire.
Right.
It's good to have fire in a fireplace because then it's contained.
Yes.
You know, it gives you
contained,
warmth. You can cook it. If it gets out, and you know, if you rake the burning embers out on your floor, then your house is going to burn down.
Right. Yeah, and that's not going to help.
Right.
So it's how we handle that situation, how we handle that opportunity. And sometimes we don't handle our opportunities very well. Sometimes, okay, let's look at us. In our human body, we have some talents and we have some abilities. Those are encased sometimes in the difficulties of insecurities or of timidity or things like that. And we don't use those talents and abilities. But when we begin to use them, there are blessings involved, but there's also difficulties that come with that.
Right. That kind of correlates to what Paul wrote about having that treasure.
Yes.
The glory of God. In these clay jars.
Yes, which is us. 2 Corinthians. Yes, we have this blessing in our earthen vessels.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that. Let's go down to verse 12.
Cracked pots.
Go ahead. Cracked pots of our human. Yes. Oh, I love that.
Who are you calling a crackpot?
All of us.
We are. In James 1:12, it goes along with this. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. Okay, that's the first line of verse 12. Pastor Jim, do you want to read 12 in your translation? I love James 1:12. It's a verse y'all need to be marking in your Bible. Go ahead.
A man who endures trials is blessed, because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown that God has promised to those that love him.
Crown of life. Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
Crown of life.
Crowns.
Uh-huh. Remember that teaching long ago we did on crowns?
This is, the NIV says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him.
Absolutely. Are there going to be tests in our lives? Absolutely. And in the Message Bible, anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. I think what happens a lot of times is people find, as they become a Christian, as they begin to grow in God, then there is that natural maturation process. You know, if you take a baby does not look at all like it did as a baby when they're 18 years old. And we were, my son and I were talking yesterday about my granddaughter, Rylan. And she was just born, you know, it seems like yesterday. And instead, it was almost 17 years ago. And the darling little baby that she was, and then she went through the puberty years and all that, and the teenage years, and here she is, almost 17. She is a gorgeous young woman. And the changes there, I'm so glad. I mentioned this last week on the radio, Pastor Jim. I'm so glad that she's grown up to be who she is. She didn't stay a baby. Because if she were a 17-year-old toddler, you know, that would be hard to deal with. Mm-hmm. You know, there is the maturation process. Now, let's take that spiritually and emotionally. I think a lot of people get stunted. You and I, Connie, have talked about this in counseling. People get stunted where there's been such serious abuse in their lives, right?
Abuse or addictions.
Or addictions, yes. We've seen that in both.
Yeah, they emotionally, they don't grow beyond that point. So we, you know, sometimes when you bump into an adult form body,
right,
of somebody who is an emotional 3-year-old,
right,
5-year-old, it's difficult to deal with them.
Exactly. Exactly, because they really haven't emotionally grown up, and they're not able to handle life on life's terms.
And they don't make adult decisions. They make childlike decisions.
And in order to get to the point from being that baby and being this beautiful 17-year-old or, you know, 30-year-old, there's so many things we have to go through, and we have to learn how to handle life on life's terms. Do you want to comment on that, Pastor Jim?
It goes back to what James said earlier, you'll be mature and complete. You'll know what you're supposed to do. I mean, you just grow up.
Right.
And, yeah, it'd be nice to stay babies, but we can't.
Right.
Because, you know, we outgrow those things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, James calls us, he says here, and it, again, it's not an if, it's a when.
Right.
You know, when you endure these trials, you're going to be blessed. Because once you, and I love the encouragement, once you pass the test.
like you are going to pass it.
Then you'll receive the crown of life.
Right.
Everybody passes.
Yeah. And you just keep repeating things till you get that, like the Israelites going around the same mountain 40 years. If you have to keep going through something, you're eventually going to get it if you have an attitude that says, I want to get it. I want to learn, you know? Speaking of him again, my son was telling me the story of Rylan that a few weeks ago she had her first blowout on her car, a tire blew out. And so she had saved up quite a few $100s, you know, for school clothes and a bunch of stuff she was going to do for her. And he decided it was a perfect opportunity to teach her one of life's lessons. So,
and I bet she was thrilled with this lesson.
Yes.
No doubt. And she goes to school with last year's clothes on.
Right. Well, she ended up having enough to buy a lot of clothes, and she needed clothes, of course. Ha ha. And, but he said, before you do that, I want you to call the garage over there that we use and get an appointment tomorrow and take your, you know, make sure, get your car there. And he had put a little spare on it. Get your car there and, get a tire and pay for it out of your own money, and then you can go buy school clothes, because this is life, and you have expenses, sometimes surprise things. And she did it cheerfully, which was really cool, and she was like saying, she was so like pleased with herself that next evening, saying, look what I did. I went and bought a tire by myself, had it put on, and spent my own money, and then I still had money for school clothes, you know, and came in with all these bags of stuff. Case in point, we will not learn how to put a tire, get a tire, buy a tire, put it on our car if we never have a blowout.
Exactly.
There you go. So now we're not wishing that you all have blowouts out there. It's different than that.
Could just be a speed bump.
Could be a speed bump. But the point is, if we never have any testing challenges, the way James calls them, if you don't have any of these, how are you going to grow up? Mm-hmm. So we need to change our mindset and be excited about the speed bumps and the blowouts. Connie and Jim are sitting here giving me those looks like, really?
I was just thinking of a time when, and I can't remember how far back it was. I was thinking, you were talking about people having problems at church, you know, people just having issues and things and needed prayer and stuff. And I was thinking, my life's pretty good right now.
Like, cool, I don't have any.
Yeah, I never said that again.
Yep.
Because it didn't pay off well. It's still paying.
What happens is there are lulls, I believe. Maybe there's just little calm times before storms that are coming. Just like the disciples were rowing their boat across to the other side of the sea after the big miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, right? Mm-hmm. And they're rowing along, and here comes a big storm. You know, instead, that should have been party time. Look what happened today. Wow, we fed 5,000 people. God did. Wow, wow, wow. But they, I mean, they were just immediately engulfed in a storm.
Right. Well, and, you know, these issues, these problems, these trials that we have build our character.
Oh, they suck.
And, I mean, in 2 Peter, Peter just lists it all out. This, right. You know, this builds this, and this yields this. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just perfect because through the testings, through the trials, we find out about ourselves.
Yes, we do.
And, you know, we talked a little bit about it. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about God tested so-and-so. And that was never so God could really find out what was in their heart, because he already knows.
Right.
He knows what's in our hearts. It's so we can find out. Because sometimes when we go through trials...
Wait a minute. That's a great point. You're going to have to go back over that point again, because some people may have missed it, because a lot of people, and they did on Wednesday night, take exception with God doesn't test people.
Right.
So explain that.
You know, he doesn't tempt people to sin. But especially in the Old Testament, you look at that, you know, the people were tested. Said God tested, you know, I thought, of course, Abraham with Isaac.
Right.
And it wasn't so that God could really find out what was in Abraham's heart. It was really so Abraham could find out what was in Abraham's heart.
Huge point.
You know, I mean, and Abraham realized, you know, I'm willing to give up my only begotten son. And, I expect God, you know, the writer of Hebrews said, Abraham believed that God would give Isaac back to him, even if Abraham had killed Isaac
right.
on the altar. God would have given Isaac back to him, would have resurrected Isaac.
Absolutely.
Because Abraham believed that promise that strongly.
Yes.
And this was not so God could know that, because he already knew.
Right.
And so Abraham could know that.
That's huge. That's huge. So these tests and trials are Yahoo moments.
Yippee.
Yeehaw.
Or hee-haw moments, yes. Or whatever, but they are. They really are.
We talked about it on Wednesday. You heat ore.
Yes.
Like mineral ore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's not so much the mineral that you're looking for that comes to the top. It's all the junk.
Right.
Because usually that's lighter than the mineral.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be skimmed off. Well, that's one of the purposes of trials is, yeah, all that crap comes up. Sorry, the crap comes up, and what do we do with it? Do we allow God to skim it off, or do we let that become then who we are? And it just shows us, oh yeah, this is an issue that needs to be dealt with.
Yes,
we can, then it's up to us. Do we deal with it,
right,
or do we hold on to it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's there was something in the message where you said back about being double minded, around about verse 6 or so. That's really, really good, because
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
it kind of addresses that.
People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way, adrift at sea, keeping all your options open.
There, because sometimes we want to do that. And
right.
God calls us to walk with him.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes we, well, I'll hold on to this just a little bit longer.
Right.
I'll keep this in my life a little bit longer. And that's just been there, done that. It doesn't work.
Doesn't work. God is purifying us and changing us. Listen to this song by New Song. We love this group. The Same God.
Back to the wall, scared you fall. What you gonna do? Day and night, don't know why. It's like the world's against you.
Traditional new song,
right?
Because they have a new lead singer. Because some of the guys are getting a little older.
Oh well, that's a great song. The Same God by New Song. We're listening. You're listening to Living the Good Life. We are too, I guess, because we're here. Beacon of Hope Ministries, yay. And we're in the Book of James. We're in chapter one. And we're having a great discussion about the trials and testings that produce in us character, that do a work in us. And James says, change your mindset, people, and begin to rejoice and have a Yahoo moment here when you have a Yahoo moment when you have a test or a challenge that comes your way. It's time to start rejoicing. Thank you, Jesus. I know you're going to do something great through this challenge that I am facing, and you're going to grow me up and make me more like you. Mm-hmm. And so we are in verse 12 of James 1. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons loyally in love with God, the reward is life and more life.
You know, I was just thinking, these little short letters at the back of the Bible.
Uh-huh. Pretty darn good, aren't they?
They're good, but, you know, it just popped into my head after James, of course, are Peter's letters.
Yes.
And Peter says, you know what else? You know what else you're blessed by? Persecution.
Exactly.
Okay, these are such cheerful things.
No wonder they put him in the back.
Right.
Well, it's 2 Timothy. Well, you know, persecution is great for you.
Well, yeah. I mean, Peter says you're blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you.
Yes.
And here you're blessed because you get the crown of life.
I get the crown of life.
You know, it's like, yeah, these things are going to happen. You know, trials, persecution, whatever. Those are going to happen. Those are those promises we don't want to see in that little pocket,
right?
You know, Bible promise book.
Exactly.
But they're promised also. But there's a blessing.
Yes.
Because, you know, you praise get to God. The other side of it, and you can look back, and, you know, you're on the other side of the mountain. You're on the other side of whatever this was. And you can look back and think, you know what? Okay, if this comes up again, now I know.
Right. Graham Cook says that you're going to get answers to prayers quicker if you pray them with joyful persistence. Joyful persistence moves God. So it's going right along here with James 1, verse 2, where it's consider it all joy when you encounter tests or trials. So you go to God and you say, hey, I'm believing you for the answer here. And I'm going to be joyful here. I'm going to be excited because you are giving me a trial.
Yippee!
And I'm excited about this trial because I am going to learn something. Woo! Isn't that cool?
Amen. And I just want to give a real quick shout out to Nan.
Yeah, Nan's just sent a little comment here to us. Yes.
Cheerleader.
Thank you, Nan.
She is that. So, let's meet these tests and challenges head on and stick it out. And therefore, we're going to be mighty blessed and fortunate if we stick it out, regardless of what it feels like.
And that goes right along with what you just, you know, the series we just finished up, Fight or Flight.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we can crumble under these.
Yes.
You know, and it's, you know, I think we've probably all done that, too, where
a
trial comes up, a test or something, and we just give in. And then
we wallow in self-pity and fear and doubt.
We take another trip around Mount Sinai.
Yeah, we do. We take another.
Cyanide,
yes.
Yeah, we take another trip around poor me mountain. So.
Victim
mentality. So when we start realizing that the opportunity, I have a pen right here. The opportunity is encased in the difficulty. There's ink in here. There's an opportunity for a blessing here. And we've just got to find out how to get that lid off of it and see that opportunity. And we've got to thank God that we even have a pen. Thank God that we even have a difficulty, right? That has an opportunity in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And as we do that, we start growing up.
Well, and it just popped in my head. Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice evermore. In everything, give thanks. Not for everything, but in everything. When you're going through it, you give thanks. And it just, in a sense, I mean, that does. That clears your mindset.
Right.
And I really think enables you to hear from God. Because God may be telling you, I need you to do this or this or this in the middle of this to get yourself out. Well, if you're sitting around, maybe, you know, moaning and complaining and whining, you're not going to hear from God.
You're
but if you're going into this with a joyful heart, a thankful heart, that means you're in tune with God. You're going to hear from God and get that wisdom, which James also talks about, in order to get through this trial.
Absolutely. You know, the AA program, which I totally respect, and I've been a part of the Al-Anon part of it, but it's all the same. CODA, all of it, teaches that attitude of gratitude. And one of the things that CODA sponsors and Al-Anon sponsors try to get their sponsees to do is make a list of what they're grateful for. And when we start putting that as our mindset, I am grateful for this difficulty because there's an opportunity in it. There's an opportunity when we begin to be grateful for the trials that are coming our way. And that may sound silly. Does that sound silly, Connie?
Mm-mm.
Because you're mature and you understand those things. But to the average person,
that's a stretch. Does mature.
All right. You're in the process of becoming totally and completely mature.
Yeah. I guess.
All right. And because in the process of it, We are learning the nature of God. We're learning his goodness. We're learning his faithfulness. We're learning how much he loves us. We're learning that he's a good God and that he's all the time trying to hide surprises for us encased in difficulties.
Good surprises.
Good surprises. Mm-hmm. We have a tradition in America where people give gifts at Christmas, maybe birthdays, something like that. Usually there's wrapping paper.
Not at our church.
No. There's wrapping paper. And it's
not at Christmas.
Not at Christmas. There's wrapping paper, and inside the wrapping paper is the gift. So sometimes it's even difficult to open that, that wrapping paper if it's been taped down really hard. But once you open it up, there's that surprise, there's that gift. And that's how we have to look at the difficult experiences that happen in our lives, that there is something good that's coming from that, which brings me to Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose.
And, you know, there's the catch.
Right there. That's the catch.
I mean, first of all, you have to love God.
Amen. You have to.
And be called according to his purpose. I mean, that's submitting to his will.
Amen.
You know, you can fight God's will, and that's only going to make these tests and trials drag on for however long.
Right.
Because, you know, like you said before, it's to form God's character. I mean, all through the New Testament, it's about, you know, becoming more like Jesus, having his nature formed in us, to basically reflect Jesus' life. And that's how we do it.
Yes.
I mean, talk about somebody went through a lot of trials and stuff. Look at Jesus. I mean, they tried to stone him. They tried to throw him off a cliff.
I haven't had that happen today.
Yeah, and he was harassed by demons.
Right, he was. And people that, and I was just reading the other day in the New Testament where Jesus said to his disciples, "Are you going to leave me too?" Because this whole crowd had left. And he had sent them out two by two, and then there were the 70 that went out, you know, the 12, 70. And so many of them got offended at him and left him.
Well, they didn't quite get what he said.
That's exactly right.
About John chapter 6.
Yeah, John 6, the bread of life chapter.
You know,
he probably stepped on their toes.
He probably stepped on their toes. Yeah.
Well, he did. I mean, he said, you know, eat my flesh, drink my blood.
Right.
You know, they were pretty horrified by that.
And thought that
but
was
I
literal.
Love Peter's response there, and this has to be our response. Who else are we going to go to? You're the one with the words of life.
Amen. Amen.
Why would we go anywhere else? And I think we need to remember that. You know, we get under pressure, we get under trials, and it's just human nature to look for maybe a different way out because we maybe don't like God's way.
Right.
You know, God, if I do that, I got to do, you know, I got to give this up. I got to do this. I got to, you know, we may not like that, but
we don't like to be corrected. People do not like to be corrected. But God's word corrects us. It changes us. It proves us who we are. And that's what James is saying. Let your true character, let your character change. Mm-hmm. It brings out, trials bring out our character.
They bring out the best and worst.
They certainly
do.
And
we have to give God the worst so that the best can rise to the top.
I've often heard it said that trials can make us bitter or better, and the difference is the letter I. You know, when it's the letter I, and it's all about me, and it is like, oh, poor me, and me, and this happened to me, and oh, poor me.
Victim.
You know what? That is what we're saying, isn't it? But when we look at the trial as making us better and changing us and bringing the junk to the top, as you said, so that we can see the fear and doubt and anger and hostility and all of that stuff, we can deal with it.
Right. And we have the choice then when that rises to the top, what do we do?
Yes.
Do we deal with it? Do we let God, basically, do we let God deal with it?
Yes.
Or do we hold on to it? Because then it's already at the top and not, it's no longer bubbling under the surface. It's right there, and it's for all the world to start seeing.
But what happens, Connie, you and I have been counseling, and Pastor Jim, too, for years, we've seen this. Sometimes when the truth comes out about it, exposes an attitude, a rebellion, an issue of resentment or unforgiveness. I've had people, you've had people look right at us and say, I'm never forgiven so-and-so for that. Never, never, never. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then when we begin to deal with that and explain that forgiveness does not mean we agree with what was done to us, but just that they don't owe us anymore, and we let it go and let God do the work in our heart, then it's easier for people to begin to let it go. But sometimes people are they hang on to those resentments and bitterness and anger. I mean, I feel like this show is becoming Counseling 101 today, which is okay. But you know what I'm saying, Con?
Just like you said, James is a practical book.
It's a practical book, and we're dealing with practical stuff today.
Well, in our humanness, you know, why would we want to put ourselves out there again?
Right.
You know, so many of us have been in relationships and friendships that have hurt us.
Right. And, yes.
You know, why would you want to go back and talk to that person again?
Yeah.
And let them do it again?
Right.
It's
but we forget that maybe God's working on their heart and changing them, and maybe there is going to be a different outcome.
Right.
You know, because right. God's involved.
Well, and the other thing is, there may not be, but in order for God to keep working in us, we just got to let go of it.
There you go.
You know, it's this person wronged me, and you know what? They're never going to be able to make it right, but I'm just, in the same way that our God released us from our debt.
Yes.
Okay, they've got a debt they can never pay, and I'm just going to let it go.
Let it go. Oh, we got a lot more to talk about in the second hour. How can we have already talked for an hour?
Holy moly.
How did this happen, Cedric? Did you move this clock? I don't know. We are so glad to be on the air today. Live, as always, we're in our sixth year. Excited about the ministry that God has given us to do. We're getting ready to celebrate our 11th year as a ministry, Beacon of Hope Ministries, in October. And we welcome you to go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, find out all about us. And the prayer ministry that we talked about at the beginning of the show, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com for any of your prayer needs. We want you to use that email address, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. So anyway, we're excited about what God's doing.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So, station ID, and we'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
Okay, you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Not sunny today. Actually, I don't believe there has been a ray of sunshine all day.
I saw sun.
You saw sun?
There was some for a few minutes over by our place.
Really? Okay. But for the most part, we've had downpours and torrential at that, and some drizzle and nice gray clouds. But you know what? It's cool. It's cool anyway. We need the rain. So we thank God for that. And wherever you are today or listening to this show later on our website, which is great, you hopefully are having a great day. Cedric, do you want to comment? This is our wonderful engineer who is so cute,
I know it's. I could comment on a lot of things, but I was supposed to mention last hour the scores.
Please, yes.
And you'll be glad to know Tampa Bay Buccaneers 10-0 versus Cardinals, and Rays are still 6-0 according
Whoa.
To Google.
You're wonderful. Just a minute. That's great.
The Bucks
All
are,
right.
The Bucks are playing the Cardinals.
Bucks are playing the Cardinals.
The Arizona Cardinals?
I think so. Yeah, that's what it says. At least that's
wow.
That's what
10-0,
Google says.
10-0, huh?
I believe you.
Yep, 10-0.
10-0 and Rays
in the second quarter.
All right, and Rays 6-0. That's all good news. We're excited about that. So that's a praise report, Pastor Jim.
I know.
To well, Connie and I it is.
I have a praise report.
Please give that.
Good news.
Good news.
I don't praise report, but I work with a really phenomenal nurse in the NICU. And her son, I hope I can do this with him. Her son, a year ago Friday, was blinded by a bomb.
Oh, yes, in Afghanistan, yes.
And he won his second gold medal.
Wow.
At the Paralympics in London.
Oh, wow. That's great.
And I was just reading, he's been chosen to carry the flag tomorrow.
Oh.
For closing ceremonies.
Oh, that is fantastic. That's great.
So excited.
yes, that was a devastating thing that happened, but we thank God for his accomplishments and how God is healing his body and working in him.
And his mind.
And his mind. So praise God for that. We love the praise reports. We want to hear from you. Send your praise reports to prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries. And you can also send your praise reports, prayers and praise reports there, because we love that when we get those, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yes. If any of you want to comment on our discussion today in the book of James, you can do that right now by emailing pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Yes, so you can do that right now, pastor@beaconofhopeministries. So we're in the book of James, and we're excited about our discussion today, and it's getting very practical. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we want you to join us for a service Sunday mornings at 10 and Wednesday night Bible study at 7. But it is preceded Wednesday night by prayer meetings. So come and be a part of that. Bring your dinner if you come from work. We already set up tables so that we're ready for Wednesday night. It's fun. Great discussion. Mm-hmm. Honestly, Pastor Jim, I was getting texts last week about that this was a great Bible study that we had last Wednesday night on this chapter.
It was incredibly interactive. It was wonderful.
So many people talked. Almost every single person was involved. And it was just fun. So we welcome you. Bring your Bible and a notebook Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Beacon of Hope Ministries, 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater.
Suite 206.
And it is sweet to be in the presence of the Lord, too. So listen to this song, and we are going to have more discussion in a minute, What Faith Can Do by Cutlass.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger, stronger than you know. Don't you give up now. The sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver lining. What faith can do. It doesn't matter what you've heard. Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water, but it'll be alright. Life's so much more than what your eyes are seeing. You will find your way if you keep.
Praise God. I love that song. Impossible is just a reason for someone not to try. That word. Woo. So we just are reaching out in faith today as we do this show every single Sunday afternoon. We are studying the book of James. The series is The Focus of Faith, and learning how to focus that faith, learning how to grow in faith and get stronger. And the first hour, we talked about tests and trials and how they are moments for us to be able to just grow, and that we should look at them with a new mindset of gratitude for the tests and the challenges. If you missed the first hour, you can catch it on our website sometime tomorrow. It'll be there, and it stays there indefinitely. So you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are in James chapter 1, and we're going to go down to verse 17. So I love this verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shifting shadow. In other words, God doesn't change his mind. There are Amen. Things, it's settled.
Yeah.
God says, I love you. You're my child. I surround you with favor like a shield. That's Psalm 512. God says that we are his chosen ones, that we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. God says that we are seated with him in heavenly places. All of these promises and the blessings of Abraham are ours. You know, all of those promises, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. He doesn't change his mind. Pastor Jim, have you ever been around people who say, God told me to do this, and then the next couple days, or maybe next week, they come up for prayer, and they say, now God wants me to not do that. He wants me to do this. And then the next time you talk to him, really, God changed his mind, and now he wants me to do this. Ever been around that as a pastor? Because I have.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder how fickle God is.
Right, exactly. What
fickle.
A wonderful. There you go. You like that word, Pastor.
I like that word, fickle.
Well, and you know what? It's true because, you know, God says in Malachi, I am the Lord, I do not change.
He does say that. Malachi 3:8-11 about tithing.
Hebrews.
Yes.
You know, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
13:8.
It's, God does not, he's not a man.
Right.
You know, what is that scripture? God's not a man that he should lie.
That's right.
Or the son of man that he should change his mind.
Right.
You know, God, like you said, there are certain things that God's promised us that we can depend on.
Right.
If we can't depend on it, then why bother?
Right.
I'm quite serious. I mean, if I couldn't depend on God,
yes.
Then why
Good
bother?
Point.
I mean, that would make God.
You could put your trust in some golden
idol.
Calf.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Because I'd be getting about as far with the calf then as I would with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he says, and I love the Father of Lights.
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool.
Well, why is that important to you?
Well,
Father of Lights.
Just, there's no darkness there.
Right.
You know, it's not even just one light. It's lights, plural.
John 8:12, Jesus said, and I wrote it in my Bible, in the NIV, I am, it's another one of his I am statements, I am the world's light. No one who follows me stumbles around in the darkness. I provide plenty of light to live in. Actually, I think that's the Message Bible that I wrote in James 1 here in my Bible. No one stumbles around in the darkness. I provide plenty of light to live in. So, in other words, when we are encountering tests and trials of any sort, and we begin to say, okay, God, I'm going to change my mindset. Graham Cook says, in order to change a mindset, you got to replace it with a different mindset. So, I choose to kick out the mindset that says, oh, poor me. Oh, pity party. You know, all of that. We take that out of there. We take authority over that self-pity and depression. And we say, in the name of Jesus, I choose to believe that this trial is encased It's the case around an opportunity for me to learn more about God's nature, for me to understand who he is, for me to realize that he is good and that every desirable and beneficial gift comes down from the Father of lights. I choose to believe there's an opportunity that's been encased in this by this difficulty. Comment on that, one of you or both of you.
We have to remember that sometimes we're not going to see the opportunity. You know, I mean, it may not be revealed to us until we take the cap off or open, you know.
Right.
I'm picturing like a walnut, you know, until we crack it open. We're not going to know what's inside.
How about an oyster? What's inside?
A pearl.
What happens? How does that pearl form?
From a piece of sand.
Sand. Just rub
it. An irritation.
Exactly. An irritation. Isn't that a perfect? But just looking at that oyster. It's a hard shell. Looks, that's the difficulty there.
And it's ugly.
And it's ugly. It's not pretty.
No.
Yeah, it's not a shell you'd pick up on the beach.
No. And yet, inside that oyster is growing a pearl.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Oh, I love that metaphor. So every beneficial gift comes down from the Father of Lights.
From the Father of Lights, with whom there's no variation, no shadow of shifting. We can... That speaks to God's dependableness.
Yes, his faithfulness.
You know, his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness.
Mm.
We need that. I mean, in these unstable times.
Yes.
And, you know, uncertain economy, uncertain politics, uncertain nature, mm-hmm. You know, these are the times of the birth pangs, and we need a God that we can depend on.
Absolutely.
And God says, I'm there. I'm dependable. I don't change.
Right.
I've got it under control. I don't change.
Amen.
And praise God for that, because I wouldn't want it to be, well, okay, is this one of the days of the week? Remember when you used to have parking that you could park on one side of the street on odd days and one on
right.
even? I'd hate to have to go to my calendar. Is this one of God's healing days, or is this one of God's prosperity days, or
right.
is that tomorrow? Is it is
right.
odd, even day? No.
Right.
That's not like that. He's
exactly.
dependable all
exactly.
the time.
Praise God. You can bank on that. You can take that as a firm assurance that he's going to do that. Oh, when you go to him and you say, okay, Father, I give this problem to you. I commit this into your hands. I let it go. I can't fix it. Here it is. Then we should walk away from that situation with a joyful expectation that God's going to take care of it and that a miracle is coming our way. He specializes in suddenly moments and surprises, and he loves all of that. However, here's the however to this. We can short circuit our miracle, Connie. I want a comment from you and Pastor Jim on this, by our own mouths.
Well, just as Pastor Jim was talking about the prayer requests and asking for this or God's hand in something, and then as soon as they're done saying, oh, I don't think he's going to do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And James
just
says, ask boldly.
Undo the whole thing.
Exactly. Ask boldly, believingly, mm-hmm. and don't give it a second thought is what James says. But so often our own doubt and worry gets in there and we short circuit the blessing with our own mouth, with our own mouth. So we've got to look at verse 19, and in the Message Bible, post this at all the intersections, James 1:19. Dear friends, here it is, three things. Lead with your ears. I want to hear it in your translation there in a minute. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. Let's talk to, read that and talk to me about that.
Dearly beloved brothers, understand this, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger.
Quick, slow, slow. Okay.
I like that. Then when you preach this morning, you know, I told you there's a situation going on with me, and it's like, you know, this is one of those rhema words where God sort of smacks you between the eyeballs with it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I was pretty quick to anger and really slow to hear.
And that makes you human.
Yeah.
However, what makes you Christ-like is that you repent.
Right, which I did.
Which you did. So we can pat him on the back, Connie, because he did repent.
Yeah. Hey, how about that?
Okay.
All right.
But I like the slow to, quick to hear.
Yeah.
You know, and you gave a really good example, and you can ask Ray. I tend to do this. I'll finish his sentences or, but, you know, interrupt without hearing everything. And we need to be quick to hear and listen fully.
Hard to do.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I have so much to say all the time. I just interrupted you right then.
Exactly.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I just want to comment, you know, and, but
sometimes I do it, but I do it because if I don't, I won't remember what I was going to say.
Okay, then. Go back to your point, because Connie and I just interrupted you.
That was done well, wasn't it?
Wasn't
that
it?
That was
skillfully.
That was skillful.
We didn't even rehearse it.
Right.
That was a skillful lesson.
Yes.
There. But yeah, I mean, quick to hear.
Quick to hear.
Mm. You know, be ready to listen.
Yes.
Be ready to listen. Slow to speak.
Uh-huh.
And what is that one proverb? About the fool opening his mouth in room. Even a fool, if he keeps silent, is thought wise. You know?
Yeah.
If you keep your mouth shut, your thought, you know, people might think you're wise.
I know some people that could use that information.
Exactly.
And I don't know if it's message, is one of the more, one of the looser translations says, don't open your mouth and remove all doubt. You know?
Exactly.
But, you know, quick to hear, slow to speak. Think about what James is saying here is think about it. And then slow to anger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're
slow
human.
Boil.
Yeah, well, you know, we're human. We tend to get angry really, really quickly.
We boil over sometimes.
Yeah. And Paul says, be slow to anger. Because he goes on to say, a man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness.
No. It does not.
You know, it doesn't do any good, basically, is what he's saying. You're not going to accomplish God's purposes by being angry.
Well, I so agree. And I think if, you know, the teacher in me wants our listening audience to hear this, quick, slow, slow. Okay? The quick is with our ears. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Okay? That's what James says here. Practical Christian living. Quick to hear. Back to the point where you said a lot of times we don't hear people out. People in a relationship we might be in, or a family member, or a boss, or a coworker. We just want to just jump in there and defend our position when they're trying to correct us, perhaps, show us a better way of doing something. I've been guilty of this most of my life. So anyway, I'm going to take this to heart right now that we need to hear people out and be quick to hear. Lead with our ears, it says in the Message Bible. Lead with your ears. Do you want to comment on that? Connie, are you listening?
I didn't hear a word you said.
You're supposed to be quick to hear, Connie.
I heard words, but they didn't go. You know how you said they just like go...
Yeah. Is that what happened? It just went in one ear and out the other?
No, I was thinking about something else.
Okay. Quick to hear. Quick to hear.
Quick to hear. Quick, slow, slow.
Quick, slow, slow.
That's what I learned.
Yeah, okay. Because so often we are so quick to talk.
Because we want to be heard.
And quick to
hear.
And quick to anger.
What verse is that? About...
It's 118. 119.
No. What to be seek to be heard? No, seek to be. We'll have to think about it.
We read a couple in Proverbs. We can go there real quick. Let's just run there and pick up a couple of these before this song. And we've got a great song coming up. Wow, I love it. Proverbs 14, verse 29, slowness to anger makes for deep understanding. A quick-tempered person stockpiles stupidity. I love that verse. A sound mind makes for a robust body, but runaway emotions corrode the bones. So often we find ourselves in a position of runaway emotions. Slowness to anger makes for deep understanding. A quick-tempered person stockpiles stupidity. Want to comment on that, Pastor Jim?
all through the Proverbs, there's all this really good Proverbs about angry people and hotheads. And,
yes, there are.
And all that. And, you know, this is, you know, a patient person shows great understanding.
Right.
But a quick-tempered one promotes foolishness.
Yes.
I mean, that's, you know, being hot-tempered or being angry, I mean, there's all sorts of proverbs about it being like a city with no walls. And,
right.
And all sorts of things like that.
Right.
Where the whole point is, the blessing is upon the patient person, the person who just listens. And it's important that we not give in to anger. And you brought it up this morning in Ephesians. Be angry, but do not sin.
Right.
You know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Yes.
And don't give the devil an opportunity, because that's a perfect way to give the devil an opportunity.
Right.
Both, you know, spiritually and physically.
Right.
You know, you go to bed angry, you're probably going to get acid reflux at some point during the night.
Okay. You know what, Cedric? Let's change up these next two songs. Go down to Believe, that track 6, and then we'll come back to track 5 in a few minutes. This is by the Katinas, Believe, and then we're going to go back to this discussion in James chapter 1.
If you choose to believe.
Believe that you can actually change, and the trials in our lives cause us to become more like Jesus. Mm-hmm. Got to believe that we can learn to control our tongue and our anger. And that's what we're talking about right now in James 1. If you have just joined Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope, we are in James 1, about verse 19. And James says to the church there, as he's writing this letter, lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. We just read Proverbs 14, 29, and 30. Slowness to anger makes for deep understanding. A quick-tempered person stockpiles stupidity. Going over to chapter 15 of Proverbs, verse 1, a gentle response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. Verse 4 of Proverbs 15, kind words heal and help. Cutting words wound and maim. Which one of you wants to comment on any of that? And can we believe that God can change us from a person with a sharp tongue to a person with a healing tongue, Pastor Jim?
I believe so.
Ha ha, yes.
You know, I mean, you think, I mean, that's one of those things about becoming more Christ-like.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus said some pretty... I won't say cutting, but he was pretty direct a number of times, but it was never said with the wrong attitude. I mean, you can preach the word, you can speak the word, but if you're doing it with the wrong attitude, that's when it cuts and maims.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you could cut. I've done it before.
Right.
You know, you can cut people to shreds with the word.
People do it all the time from pulpits.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know. But that's not...
And personally, interpersonal.
Right, but that's not what God wants to do. You know, the word, yeah, is a weapon against Satan, not against your brother or sister, okay?
Amen.
And I like that, you know, gentle answer turns away wrath. That is so true. You know, we use the term in counseling, de-escalating.
Right.
You know, that's... Saw Connie roll her eyes at that.
Yes, exactly.
But sometimes that's what it takes to de-escalate, to turn away somebody's wrath. It's just a gentle answer.
Right. It's hard to do sometimes because our emotions flare up and we want to make our point. Did you want to comment, Connie? Do you want to make a point?
I was just going to say that it also, if it helps them and it's the answer that they want, it always calms down the wrath too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Let's go to Proverbs 22, verse 24. I mentioned these today. I love these couple verses. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. Don't hang out with angry people. Don't keep company with hotheads. Bad temper is contagious. Don't get infected. Connie, I'm going to you. Don't hang out with angry people. Don't keep company with hotheads. Bad temper is contagious. Don't get infected.
Well, you know, as we're growing up, our parents try to pick our friends.
Right.
Or tell us, you know, you can't hang out with these people because they're bad influences. And so, I mean, it's the same thing. You, no matter how old you are, when you hang around somebody who's negative, you're going to be negative. If you
right.
hang around somebody who's hateful, you're going to be hateful.
Absolutely.
You know, or somebody that has a, you know, some other plan for their life and you hang around them, you're going to start adopting that plan.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's just because of peer pressure and it just happens.
Bad temper is contagious. Don't get infected. It's way too easy to get infected, don't you think, Pastor Jim?
Yep. Well, I was thinking, you know, Paul writes, bad company corrupts good morals.
Right.
You know, who you're hanging around with is going to be a big influence, you know, on you. You know, you hang around with hotheads, you're going to pick up their ways.
Mm-hmm.
You hang around with, you know, no matter what. I mean, it's like, you know, we talked about it on a lot, actually, but... You know, with a computer, what you put in is what you get out. You put in garbage, you get garbage. Same thing with us. You hang around people who are negative, you're just gonna become negative. you hang around with people who are prone to anger, you're just going to become angry.
Oh, absolutely.
You hang around with people who are bitter, you're going to become bitter.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
And James is saying this is a cause of a lot of issues with people, and I believe it is. It's a twofold thing here. He says, you know, lead with your ears, listen more, then speak. And I think that's one whole concept here that is critical that we all need to learn to really adopt in our lives, that desire to listen more, hear it out, hear the situation out. I'm working on that in my own life, and it's not easy sometimes. And then the second issue is don't just immediately flare up, you know? Learn what those things are that push your buttons. There's people in our lives that push those buttons, and they know how to do that. Connie, you want to comment on that?
The button pushers?
Sure.
Well, what I was going to say was, if you are hanging around with somebody who, let's say, is negative or is angry or shows a lot of anger and talks mean, then you have to be your own person, and you have to be able to stand up and say, I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. I'm not whatever. Because as long as you quietly just sit there, you're agreeing with what they're saying.
Absolutely. You become a part of the problem and not the solution.
Right. So, you know, and we're all challenged to become more like Christ. And so that means that we're not going to just sit by and let somebody rant and rave or be in their presence. You know, you're a human being. You're not a slave. You're free, and you can get up and leave.
Absolutely.
And that's what you have to do.
But I think a lot of times, correct me if I'm wrong, people don't want to confront somebody. Maybe it's a friend, and the friend goes under these negative rants and raves or anger issues. Mm-hmm. And instead of saying, wait a minute, I'm not sitting here and listening to this. You can do this on your own time. I've got other things I want to do. It's hard for people to confront like that, Pastor Jim, and take a stand and say, I don't want to hear it. This is contagious.
It's easier to be passive.
Oh,
but by being passive and not standing up to it, whether it's anger or lies or bitterness or whatever, by not standing up to it, then you're becoming a part of it.
Absolutely.
Exactly. But they don't understand that, I don't think.
You don't think so?
I don't think they think that far out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think it that
that there's going to be repercussions, that there's going to be, by listening to all this negativity, it's going to affect them.
Well, like, you know, this is kind of far-fetched probably, but you know that if somebody is robbing a bank or a store and somebody is murdered.
Right.
Those robbers are responsible for that murder. So they're going to be charged with murder. They're not going to be charged with robbery.
Right.
So, you know, when they participate in one thing and something else happens.
As a result.
They are.
That's good.
They are, you know, responsible for the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Just like if somebody was driving the getaway car. He's responsible for that whole murder, the robbery, everything.
Exactly. He's going to pay the consequences for what developed.
And he was
from
just
that.
Sitting there not talking.
So let's go to Proverbs 29, verse 22. Angry people stir up a lot of discord. Proverbs 29, 22. Some of you are in situations out there where you find that maybe it's in church or in your home or in your family or at work that a lot of discord is around. Look for the angry person. Look for the angry person who's speaking and causing a lot of this to be stirred up. The intemperate stir up trouble. Go ahead, Pastor Jim. This is good stuff. Proverbs 29, 22, and 23.
The angry man stirs up conflict, and a hot-headed man increases rebellion.
It does. Hot-headed man increases rebellion. And God says about rebellion that it's like the sin of witchcraft. And he stands against it and says, don't be rebellious. Be instead obedient to God's work going on the inside of us.
And I like that. I think, you know, I think a lot of people, especially in churches, get really angry, and then they rebel.
They do.
Mm-hmm. And
they get mad, and they tell their five of their closest friends what they're mad about.
And they told two more, and they told two more.
And pretty soon it's spreading through the church like
gangrene.
Gangrene.
That's called network marketing.
Network marketing. Well, it is really on the negative side of that.
Yeah.
It really is, because instead of stopping it and curtailing it and saying, wait a minute, do you realize that you must be angry about something here that you need to deal with, and this needs to stop, okay, before it gets any worse. People tend to be so socially timid, I think, a lot of times, mm-hmm. and don't want to take a stand like that, because that means they may be kicked out of the little group.
Oh, exactly.
Well, and remember, we talked earlier about the emotional age of somebody mm-hmm. and their ways of dealing with things.
Right.
And if they, you know, maybe they were shunned at school mm-hmm. or whatever, and they want to be part of a group.
Exactly, yes.
And so they clung on mm-hmm. to whoever they could.
Right.
And
so it feels good to be a part of the group, even if it's a negative group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, because think about it, the gangs, mm-hmm. the high school gangs and stuff, or the, you know, the whatever they're called, gangs, but the people that join those because they want to belong to something.
Yes.
It's not that they necessarily want to murder somebody or be a drug dealer, but they want to be a part of something.
Right. Exactly. And so angry people attract a crowd, right? I mean, think about down through history, the ones who have caused so much trouble in our society, or in, you know, in just in life in general, a lot of them are angry based people. I mean, the basis of their situation is anger. You wanted to say something there.
Well, you know, it just fits. Those verses I showed you out of Proverbs chapter 30.
Okay, 30, which verses?
Well, starting with verse 32. If you've been foolish by exalting yourself, or if you've been scheming, put your hand over your mouth.
Whoa.
Good advice. For the churning of milk produces butter, and the twisting of a nose draws blood, and stirring up anger produces strife. And that goes along with what we just talked about in the previous verse in Proverbs is, you know, rebellion, strife, that's all anger's good for.
Right.
Seriously.
It's not going to have a good result.
You know, right. I mean, if I'm angry, you know, if I'm angry with my partner, then that's just going to produce strife.
Exactly.
You know, that's why Paul says
anger needs to be dealt with.
Right. That's why Paul says don't let the sun go down on it.
Right.
And in a church, in a business setting, if you've got an issue with somebody, don't let the anger keep going, because all it's going to do is produce strife. It's going to produce rebellion. I've seen it on jobs before.
Oh, so true.
We've all seen it in churches we've attended.
Right. So, comment. You're referring to Ephesians 4:25 and 26, are you not? No, 26 and 27. Ephesians 4:26 and 27. I'm going to go there in the Message Bible, and we'll comment on this before our next song. Go ahead and be angry. Paul says, be angry. And I want you guys to talk to me about that. Paul says, go ahead, be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Ephesians 4:26 and 27. Paul is saying it's okay to be angry. You're going to react. There are things that add injustice. There are things that happen in our lives that we do get angry about, or somebody treats us horrible, and it's okay to be angry, however.
In general, anger is an okay emotion. We tend to think it's bad, and it's not bad.
It's not.
Emotions are not good or bad. They just are.
They just are.
It's what we do with that emotion.
Say that one more time.
Emotions are not good or bad. They just are.
Yeah.
So, and it's what we do with it. And Paul says, be angry, because it's going to happen. But don't sin on it. Don't turn it into a sin. Don't let the sun go down on it. And I think that's so wise.
Right.
You know, because I know if I go to bed angry, I don't usually sleep very well.
Don't sleep well.
You know.
You wake up, you stew about it, you get upset. What am I going to do? I should have said this. Oh, I should have done that.
Right. You know, Paul's saying, be angry. Go ahead. Do it. Because it's certainly better to let it go than to stuff it.
Yes.
But he said, don't sin. And do not sin goes back to all those verses we just read in Proverbs.
Yes.
That's sinning with your anger.
Yes, and it's contagious. The anger is contagious. So you want to stop it in its tracks. Do you want to comment on that, Connie? Okay. She said no. All right.
Well, and one last thing. And don't give the and there's a comma here, not a period. And don't give the devil an opportunity.
An opportunity.
Anger really gives, I mean, if you're holding anger against somebody, that just gives the devil all sorts of playtime in your playground.
Oh. The Message Bible says, don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life.
Exactly.
And that's what it is. Anger that is unresolved. Okay? It's okay to be angry, everybody. But when we don't resolve it, when we don't forgive, when we don't let it go, when we don't just be able to release that forgiveness, really is what I'm looking for, to forgive and let it go, then it becomes a foothold in our life. The devil uses that. It's like he's got the seed of anger planted, so he has a legal right now. If you haven't forgiven and you can't let it go, he has a legal right to come in and pounce on you more. And he does. Oh, my, does he ever. We've got to believe God that we can be cleaned up in our emotions. And I believe we can. I believe this is what James is saying, that count it all joy when you're going through difficult times, because there is an answer here. You can learn to control your emotions. You can learn to behave betterly. Betterly.
Betterly.
Betterly. Betterly. Betterly. Behave betterly. Absolutely. Because that's what God is calling us to do. He's not calling us to keep ourselves in the same old habit patterns of anger, resentment, doubt, unbelief, fear, all of that stuff.
Amen.
Amen.
10-4.
10-4. So let's believe God for a miracle, because I believe that there are people in our listening audience right now. Such a segue. There are people in our listening audience right now that need a miracle in the area of their emotions. Okay? They need to replace the mindset that they currently have with a new mindset. Mm-hmm. One that is not hostile. One that is not full of anger. One that is not trying to take somebody else down with them. One that is instead operating from the spirit of love and compassion and joy and peace. You know, that's what it's all about. People that are conspiring to bring people down, that's revenge. And James says, don't fall into that pattern of revenge. Okay, instead, refuse it. Here comes a miracle. One of my favorite songs, Connie and I used this on the show the other week with Ray Bolts Live. That is on our website. You can go and listen to that show. And it was about a month ago or so. And maybe a little longer, 4 or 5 weeks ago. I know when it was. It was the last Sunday of July's show. That's what it was. Okay? And you can go and hear our live interviews with Ray Bolts. It's on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Here Comes a Miracle by Ray Bolts.
Dusty roads, wherever he would lead, multitudes would gather as he healed each disease. With eyes of wonder, they would watch as he would stop to pray. And when he spoke the word of faith, you could hear them say, here comes a miracle, here comes a miracle.
Oh, can't you feel it?
Can't you feel it in the air? That look is on. And I know a miracle is near. The lame could walk, the deaf could hear, blinded eyes could see. Those who had been bound for years were suddenly set free.
They came in desperation, the hurting and the poor. But when they saw him through the crowd, they knew what was in store. Here comes a miracle. Here comes a
God. Woo! One of my favorite songs. Ray Bolts, you're a wonderful guy and a talented artist. What a great song. Here comes a miracle. Dear listeners out there, some of you need a miracle today in your emotional life, in the way you react with people, the way you interact with those around you. You need a miracle. You need to take these truths of James chapter 1 and begin to live in them and realize that God's got gifts for you, good gifts. He wants to bless you and teach you how to behave better. Woo, Connie and Jim, talk to me about all of this. I think this show has flown by the way.
I know.
I think we should just go for a couple more hours, Cedric. I don't know.
I'm sure we could.
No, go ahead, Pastor Jim. What do you think on this? And then Connie will come to you.
Well, you know, again, it's, you know, we've not even gotten to the end of the first chapter.
Oh, no. We got so much to cover.
And there's so much that God has said, and it's just, I think the biggest point here is see yourself as blessed when you go through trials.
Yes.
And quick, slow, slow.
Quick, slow, slow.
I love that.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, but again, you know, think of it, just trials don't mean God doesn't love you.
Right.
Trials are just a part of life.
Amen.
And God has, you know, he says right here, you're blessed. You're blessed, but it's all in your attitude. You're not going to be blessed if you don't count it all joy.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the key there. If you're able to say, oh, you know, I'm going to count this mess all joy,
right,
then you open it up with that thanksgiving, and you just open yourself up to being blessed of God. If you're just an old grump,
right,
then it's not going to, you know, God's not going to bless that.
Absolutely. Connie, talk to us.
Personal accountability.
Mm-hmm.
We're responsible for our own actions. We're responsible for how we respond.
Amen.
We're responsible for who we hang out with.
Yes.
We're responsible for our silence when somebody is ranting.
Mm-hmm.
we're responsible to approach that or leave or, you know, take yourself out of that situation.
Right.
You know, that's not okay to say it's somebody else's fault.
Right. And that takes courage.
It does. It takes courage and it takes strength that most people don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're used to going with the flow.
Right.
And so as far as, you know, quick to anger, quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger, they got those things all out of kilter.
Right.
So.
Valuable practical lessons, don't you believe?
Yes. Yes.
And when we all begin to put them into practice on a daily basis and say, wait a minute, I'm going to calm down and listen to this situation, whatever it is, whoever I'm interacting with. I'm going to be slow to respond here. I'm going to make sure that I respond with thought, mm-hmm. you know, with wisdom. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to be slow to get angry. And because that anger is probably going to hurt me more than it is the other person.
Yeah, it tends to.
It does, you know. And especially when it's encased in resentments and becomes, you know, it develops into bitterness and all that. So this is Practical Christian Living 101. This is how you do it. You realize that, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter tests and trials of any kind, knowing that you're going to grow through that experience. You're going to get stronger.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly. Oh, and ever since you started on this, do you remember that old Janie Grind song?
Yes. I do remember that. We need to resurrect that song.
Yes, we do.
That was great, Connie. You'll have to find it. Janie Grind. Yeah. That was a good song. Consider it all joy.
Yeah. Count
it all joy.
Count it all joy, my brothers and my sisters. And that's the whole thing.
Right.
That's the key.
Right.
Right there. Count it all joy.
Yeah. And by that, it doesn't mean that when you're going through the trial, you're like, oh, yahoo, really, although we should be. But we learned to say, okay, I choose this moment to let go of the bitterness, the resentment that I'm feeling right now, the anger perhaps that I'm feeling that I'm going through this trial. And I am going to just say, God, I rejoice in you, you know. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and you go to that mindset.
And joy is deeper than an emotion.
Yes. Oh,
I mean,
it is.
It's a force.
Yes.
You know, Kenneth Copeland talks about being a spiritual force.
Yes.
And it's a choice.
It is. It's a
choice. Know, Paul wouldn't say, rejoice evermore.
Right.
If it wasn't, I mean, you know, it's a command, so therefore it's a choice. I can choose whether or not to rejoice.
Right.
If I choose to rejoice in the midst of my trials, I'm going to get through them. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be blessed.
Mm. Amen. Woo. Anything else there from you, Connie? Mm-mm-mm. Wednesday night Bible study. Would you invite him to that?
Sure. Bring your supper. Bring your Bible. Bring your tablet. And come on down.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Good time. Don't we have a good time? We get mm-hmm. down about 8:30. Mm-hmm. Praise band practices after that. And before that, it's prayer meeting, and it's fun. The prayer meeting is great, too. And starting around 6, doors are open before 6 usually. So come and get a part of that and become a part of the family. You know, Beacon of Hope is made up of a lot of different characters, I tell you.
Look at you. The right word.
Look at Jim and Connie right here. So see what I mean? And but anyway, we welcome you to our services.
Like, we're like USA. And characters welcome.
And then we got the queen character.
There you go. Okay. You mean Pastor Jim? Anyway, so we just thank God for what he's doing and thank God for the radio show and the opportunity. And so we welcome you. Sunday mornings at 10, Wednesday night at 7. Use our prayer line, prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries. Use that and just get acquainted with that, because that will enable you to be able to send a prayer request at any time, day or night, and we will have people praying.
And remember our Facebook page.
Facebook
look us up
page.
On Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beacon of Hope, and Hope is all in capital letters.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
It has to be that way? So it's facebook.com/ Beacon of Hope, capital letters, ministries.
Well, I was just thinking of just being on Facebook and doing the search at the top of the page.
I wasn't doing the...
Oh, okay. Facebook. So if you're on Facebook and you're doing the search, you would just go to Beacon of Hope Ministries and capitalize Hope.
Yes.
Okay. And you'll see our logo, the lighthouse, right, and all of that. So it's look for that. One. And it's great. So do that, because we're going to have today's sermon that I preached this morning at Beacon of Hope will be up there sometime tomorrow. Also, share that with other people. They can do that, right? Share the link?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can't really comment on that intelligently, but I'm just assuming you can do that. So
click share below it. Send it to your page.
Okay.
Or
there
somebody's
you go.
Page.
Click share. Send it to somebody. All right. We are so grateful that you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. Pastor Jim Elsberry, what a delight you are, associate pastor, and such a joy. Connie Farmer, you just, there's nothing you don't do. And now she's videoing the services and everything that you do, counseling. You're just a blessing, a huge blessing to all of us.
I don't know what got into you today, but you were like,
I guess I was moving back and forth pretty fast, like lightning, huh? So if you watch the video and I'm moving like a streak of lightning, that's okay. All right. God bless you. Have a great week. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Pastor Jim, and Connie saying, have a great week. If we can help you, contact us. Me personally, Pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries. .com and Pastor Jim at Beacon of Hope Ministries.com. We'd love to hear from you. So God bless you. Have a great week, and join us next week at 4 o'clock. See ya. There's no need for you.
Tampa Bay, WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.